Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is Zee Cohen-Sanchez, Executive Director of Seoul Strategies. Zee, thank you so much for joining me again.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
I want to get a temperature a bit of the 2024 election. As we sit here right now, we are a little more than 6 months out from November. And in a recent poll of swing states, the Wall Street Journal found Trump winning Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and tied with President Biden in Wisconsin. As we know, those are key swing states. According to a Real Clear Politics polling average, they found Trump winning six of those seven, with Biden winning in Pennsylvania. So both polls do suggest that Trump has the edge in most of the battleground states. Read the tea leaves for us. What does this mean for President Biden this far out?
I hate to say this, but I think that there's a lot of pressure right now on Jamie Harrison, head of the DNC, because, you know, Biden is doing very well in terms of fundraising. But the question really becomes now, what are we going to do with this money and where are we going to spend it? And yes, I mean, sure, we have 6 months, but at the same time, these polls are looking really bad for 6 months out. And we have a very short turnaround time here to be able to switch things around. So, you know, if I was head of the DNC today, which I'm not, but this is my advice to Jamie Harrison, is really that the easiest route right now that we can take is that we have to focus on three key states. We can't go after all six. We just don't have the time. And I think that, I mean, arguably one could say we have the money, but even so, I mean, I think we really need to focus our resources where we could best focus them, which really is Georgia, PA, and Wisconsin. I think that, you know, if we lose Georgia, we can assume we're going to lose North Carolina because it's too much of an uphill battle, which means that then we need to win Wisconsin, PA, Nevada, which is assuming that he's going to lose Michigan, which is already not looking likely that we're going to win that. So I think we should table Michigan. But it is, you know, it's going to be a steep uphill battle.
How do you think they overcome this? What is the advice here? Because it's a steep uphill battle. You're already saying, listen, let's just put our eggs in some of the baskets here. How do you win this?
That's the question I think on everybody's mind is what do we do in those states, right? So Georgia, MPA, and Wisconsin, really, we have to focus on who we can swing. And right now, according to the Wall Street Journal poll, but then also according to all the other polls that we're seeing, about a third of the electorate is still up for grabs right now. So we've lost a couple people to RFK Jr., which, I mean, we can have a whole other conversation about RFK Jr. and third party candidates, which we'll skip for now, but we could go back to that. But it is looking like RFK Jr. is going to pull some people. We're hoping that he's going to pull from Trump. But I think in Georgia, PA, and Wisconsin, we have to focus on who we can, which is the working class of the country. We need to also get people of color. We need to focus on young people. And it also looks like what a couple of articles were talking about, how seniors also are more likely to switch from Trump to Biden. So if seniors are more likely to switch, we need to be talking about exactly what we were talking about last time, which I see that Biden is not talking about, which is the law security of Medicare. I mean, we need to talk about that with our seniors. Hopefully that's enough to get them to come over to our side if we can really express to them what that looks like, along with the fact of the loss of democracy, which I think that we can message that to everybody. We can message that to young people. But I think that seniors are going to understand that message a lot more than young people are. And so not just telling them we're going to lose democracy, but giving them examples of what that is actually going to look like under a Trump presidency.
How do you get voters to swing? Because the larger question is, what is the Biden campaign's message aside from, hey, pick me, I'm better than that guy, and that guy being Donald Trump? Because immigration and the economy are top issues, and it seems like Democrats right now really are on the defensive instead of the offensive when it comes to those.
Yeah, well, they're all that, and that's a big part of the problem is that they're always on the defense. And that I think we need to switch up the way that we run campaigns. And the way that we run campaigns at Seoul, obviously, you know, we're not working on a presidential campaign right now, but it goes for the lower seats too, is that we need to be talking about all the things that the Republicans are talking about. We need to use these fear tactics And not use them in a sense of, you know, well, we're just using fear because we're lying, like the Republicans are doing. But we need to use it in a way that makes people understand what we're really up against here. I mean, Trump has already said that he is going to be a dictator on day one. What does that really mean, dictatorship? That's stuff that we need to explain to people, because I think right now, you know, what is really happening is that people are hurting economically, and especially in these swing states, especially in places like Georgia and PA, places that, you know, typically have had very high union membership. People are losing that union membership. They're losing their benefits. And so people are hurting economically. And so what do? They go to the person that's talking about that, which is Trump. Biden isn't talking about that as much. And so we really need to be coming up, you know, we need to be aggressive with our messaging.
Let's talk about that. I'm from Pennsylvania, and like many different towns, states in this country, kitchen table issues are top issues. Pennsylvania is also a battleground state. Inflation, according to March's CPI report, is up for the fifth month in a row. So how does Biden and how do Democrats say, hey, listen, I know your wallet is hurting, groceries are high, but here's my plan to fix it. What is their plan, and how do they change the messaging on this to turn it around from being on the defense to being on the offense?
No, I think that, I mean, the way that we do that is that we have to talk about stats in the way that are meaningful to people. And so, you know, we need to talk about what it looked like under Trump, because the reality is that the stats are on Biden's side here. We don't need to lie like Trump does. And so we need to talk, what did that look like pre-COVID? What is it going to look like now? And how are we going to switch things around for the country? And I think that some of the things that Biden can talk about is his support of union membership. So Trump, unfortunately, has been able to pull a lot of these unions in the swing states. And I think that, you know, I mean, as somebody that comes from a union background, I worked for the nurses union in Oregon. I also worked for the support staff for education here in Nevada for the union out here. And I think that where the union is at right now is that going to support us, right? So, you know, do we support him now or not? He's still going to come out and support unions. Whereby if Trump wins, that could be really hurtful for them. And so I think that instead of them taking the courageous way and saying, you know, well, we don't care what it looks like, you know, if Trump wins, we're going to fight every step of the way. I think that they're using the safe method and saying, okay, well, let's just come out and support Trump. And so I think that that's something that Biden needs to talk about very strongly, is that, well, why does Trump deserve these endorsements? What has he done for the unions since he's been elected to office? And the answer to that is nothing. And in fact, he's actually hurt the unions and he's hurt the working class. And so I think that, you know, right now, what it appears to be is that Biden is really scared to talk about these issues. And we need to, you know, as you said, we need to go from the defense to the offense. And we need to do that very, very quickly while we still have the voters that are up for grabs available.
As we sit here in this time, less than 7 months away from November, the presidential election, as we talk about these numbers, A, are you surprised, because it is a 2020 rematch, are you surprised, A, how close they are, and B, what surprises you as a Democratic strategist? What sticks out to you?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. In fact, I saw this coming for a long time, because as somebody that's working on these lower level elections, you know, I'm seeing on the ground what is happening in real time. So, you know, no, I'm not surprised at all. I think that when we went into this rematch, we already knew that we were starting from, you know, not from a place of confidence to begin with. And now I think that really all that we can do is that we can focus our resources. I can't say that enough. We have to focus our resources. If we don't focus our resources, like last time around, where I saw ads being played in New York and California and places that there is no way in hell that Trump could ever win, what we're going to end up doing is we're just going to end up losing everything. And so we have to look at the numbers, and that's something that the Dems don't do enough. You know, if we give Trump Michigan, which I don't think we should give up in Michigan, personally. I think if you talk to a lot of Dem strategists, I think that they would say we need to fight like hell in Michigan, right? And I think that there's some validity to that. I think that we should fight fight like hell, I don't think that we should. I think the places we need to fight like hell in are the places that we know we need those the Electoral College votes. So if we give Trump Michigan entirely, then it looks like we're going to be at about 244 to 236 if we can pull off those extra, those swing states. So if we can pull off Georgia, if we can pull off Wisconsin, if we can pull off PA, and then I think that the other states go to the wayside. If we're in a situation, though, where we're on the ground in Georgia and we say there's just no way we can win this, then I think we need to redirect our resources to North Carolina, Nevada, and Arizona.
I know that you're saying you don't believe that Michigan is totally a lost cause for Democrats. You believe it's an uphill battle. They shouldn't fight like hell in there, but they should fight. Do you think that it is this uphill battle because of those protest votes that we saw in the primary?
Partially because of the protest votes. I also just think that Trump is spending a lot of his time and money in Michigan. And, well, the lawsuit's a whole other thing we can get into. With how much money he's going to have is a question, right? But I don't think that that's a question that's for us to find the answer to. Because regardless, Trump is going to have money. And regardless, we know he's spending it in Michigan. He's already been there, I think, already, what, twice this week or something? So we know that he's focusing his resources there. So I don't think that it's a state that, and I also just don't think that, I think that if we do focus on Michigan, then we have to focus on North Carolina, Nevada, and Arizona. And the way that things are looking right now in North Carolina, Nevada, I think, is probably our best bet in that, but Nevada doesn't have enough of those votes. So I don't think that, I don't think it's worth us going down the harder route to success here. I think we really need to focus all of those efforts, Georgia, PA, Wisconsin, every single dollar should be spent there.
In order to turn voters, to turn these swing voters, perhaps independent voters, what issues do you think Democrats should be focusing on?
So I think that we need to break it down by the demographic. So if they're young people, I think that we need to focus on college and affordable college. So Biden has actually done a lot to make sure that student loans are slowly being wiped out for certain groups of people. I know that it's not exactly what everybody imagined, like on his first day, right, of his and the promises that he made. But he has made strides in getting us, you know, a lot more affordable college options, especially with state schools. So I think that he should be focused on that. I also think that with young people, he needs to focus on, again, that loss of democracy. What does that look like? Young people in this country are going to be potentially under a dictatorship for the entirety of their lives. And so unless you are independently wealthy and you have money to leave the United States, you know, that's something that we really need to focus on with our younger people. And I think that they will understand that if we can focus it. Then, you know, with our seniors, again, we got to focus on that loss of Medicare, loss of Social Security. Again, the dictatorship, what that's going to look like for this country, and what we're going to do to make sure that they're in a better place economically, especially when they're going into retirement, because nobody, you know, I think like the average age now of retirement is what, in like in your 70s. Like that's something Biden should be talking about. People should not be retiring so late. And then I think that we have other demographics we have to focus on. We have to focus on people of color, particularly. You know, we have to focus on the African American vote and what that means. People are very disenfranchised in their community right now. And we need to talk about how things are going to be different for them. And we also have to talk about how Hispanic men are very much outside right now, particularly because of the border and all of and the crime rates and things like that. So I think if we message to those different demographics, particularly using field and talking face to face, I do think that we can make a very strong turn in Georgia, PA, and Wisconsin.
When Democrats use terms like democracy is in peril, if Donald Trump wins, America will be under a dictatorship, some critics would be turned off by that type of rhetoric, think it's dramatic. What do you say to that?
I don't think it's dramatic at all. Trump has literally said it himself, you know? So I think that, sure, it might sound dramatic, but Trump's dramatic. So, you know, I mean, we will end up in a situation, almost 100% sure that we will end up in a situation where Trump is officially the last actual elected president in the United States. And so what that looks like, I think, is that Ivanka could end up coming in. And there are a lot of people that Trump has that he could be putting that he could put in that are going to be much worse than he is. So, yes, I know that Trump is getting older. Yes, the likelihood of him running again after this is there's no chance of that. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to be under a Trump presidency in 20 or 30 years from now. It's just going to look different. So we have to talk to people about that.
As a Democratic strategist, what do you hope to see from President Biden over the next 7 months?
What I really hope to see is that he does not spend a single cent or any of his time in the states that don't matter. And that's something that I think is, that's a fear of mine, to be honest, because I've seen in his previous campaigns, and I'm not sure if this is because of lack of understanding of the numbers or because he doesn't have the right strategists around him, but there has been a lot of money that's been thrown down the drain in states that don't matter. And so he needs to be focused. I mean, really, he should move to Georgia. That's what he should do. He should move to Georgia. He should live there. He shouldn't leave Georgia or PA or Wisconsin until November. Again, Wisconsin is probably looking like the best for him. So I would even focus my resources more so on Georgia and PA. But again, I mean, he's going to have to do the work there. And that means that he's going to have a really strong ground game and a really strong ad game in both of those states, in all of those states.
So you really think that the 2024 election is coming down to these key battleground states, and not even all of them, just a few of them?
Just a few of them, yeah. Because the reality is that I don't think that we have the time or the resources to go after all of them. And so we have to choose a path, right? Like, are we gonna go down the path of Wisconsin, PA, Nevada, Arizona, and are we going down the path of Georgia, PA, Wisconsin? And to me, the numbers in our favor look better in Georgia, PA, and Wisconsin. I think the problem is that we have to, if we're going to go down the other path, we have to win all those states. We don't have an option to not win one of those states. And I'm too nervous about Arizona to say that that's a better path to victory.
Z, thank you so much for your insights today. I'm already looking forward to our next conversation.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much for having me.